Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Jerry threatening to fire people, so we were threatening to cancel an imaginary interview with Tom so we wouldn't get fired.
Good morning, Mully. Yes, happy Wednesday. I'd love to do that interview with Tom Ricketts to get to the point where maybe he would get upset with us. I don't know.
He would not do that.
We'd keep it professional. I'd like to talk to Tom Ricketts, though.
I would.
Watching all this baseball really makes me envious for October baseball in Chicago again. I'm tired of getting all these notifications on X, and I get these reminders and these memories come back of what the front page of the Chicago Tribune sports section looked like in 2017 and 2016. And I love reminiscing, but it makes you realize how long it's been since there's been relevant baseball in October.
I got a text from a friend of mine yesterday. He said, you guys are talking about Lonzo Ball playing and how it's must-watch TV. Some of us don't have it. He was so mad at me. And I was like, dude, you know, break down. Go to a tavern. Get your antenna. What can I tell you?
Chicago Sports Network still negotiating with a lot of the major carriers in the area. So
there's one.
Hopefully that will come. Yeah, the Comcast Xfinity. That's the missing piece. There are a lot of other options, as you point out, that you can watch it.
You see it in the pub.
Get an antenna. It's free over the air. And hopefully in time, this will pass. And it will be available to more people. A lot of upset, understandably, upset Hawks fans, Bulls fans, sports fans in Chicago out there. Danny Wirtz being among them, CEO of the Blackhawks, talked to the Sun-Times this morning. That's on the back page. Interesting story by Ben Pope. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff to watch tonight with Lonzo Ball back for the Bulls. The baseball, though, last night, we heard that coming in during the pregame show.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge got all of that one.
Yeah, Aaron Judge, he had gone 9 games without a home run, which sounds like...
It's an eternity.
For him, an eternity.
Yeah, 9 games.
For most humans, it's like many people have gone hundreds of games without a home run. But for Aaron Judge, you've got a, here comes the judge and the whole bit.
Well, especially in New York. He didn't go, those weren't a quiet 9 games.
No.
Those weren't very, he heard about it after every at bat.
Yeah.
The pressure mounted, and then he comes in, and they had a 4-2 lead. He made it 6-2 with one swing of the bat.
Yes.
And he looked like he was so relieved. You wonder if that will make him a little bit more relaxed, and we'll see the Aaron Judge we're used to seeing now. That series, I think, is going to be 5 games.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
It doesn't look like a good one, and they have taken care of business, and it seems inevitable that the Yankees will be.
Your Mets might be in good shape, but I think the Guardians
are. The Mets at least are making a series of it, right? They've tied the series in L.A.
They've got the Dodgers contemplating moving Ohtani down in the order because of his ability to drive in runs with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. They've got them questioning things. They've got them feeling shakier than they did when they were going 33 innings without giving up a run. Now they lose a game in L.A. Things go back to Citi Field. You never know. You never know.
You know, here's the thing. Like the Guardians, they have money, but they don't spend money the same way that everyone else left. So last year, you saw teams that weren't expected to be in the World Series. If it winds up either the Mets or the Dodgers, either the highest spending team or the top three spending team versus the second spending team, I think that everybody's going to conclude that if you want to win, you're going to have to spend money. Although
fair conclusion,
that wasn't the lesson of a year ago.
No, it was not. And the Cleveland Guardians are 26th in payroll.
Yeah,
$43 million. That's
pretty cheap.
$43 million for the 2025. Payroll, projected payroll, and the Cubs are
it's about what Javi Baez makes. And I'm joking.
Well, just about.
He's owed $73 million.
If that is the takeaway from the baseball Final Four, that you spend your way to a championship and that's the way you win in Major League Baseball, then I think the next conversation with Tom Ricketts will include that part of the conversation.
Are you willing to spend your way to a title?
And I think that he would make the argument and have the facts at his disposal that the Cubs' spending really hasn't been the issue.
No, it hasn't.
I don't think it has.
Right. And they should be better based on the amount of money they've spent vis-a-vis the division.
Mm-hmm. They really should. And now it's a matter of, you know, Juan Soto's batting last night, and I'm watching it, and I'm really wondering, given where he is in that lineup, given how comfortable he looks at the plate, why would he ever leave the New York Yankees?
Well, we know what the answer is, right?
They have all the money. They have as much money as anybody.
So you're saying, why wouldn't they pay him what it costs to keep him?
Yes, they're likely going to pay him.
Yeah.
And then they're likely going to keep him. And so I don't know if I want to get way out in front of I don't want to get carried away thinking the Cubs should be in on Juan Soto, because I'm not sure that it will matter. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Seems inevitable that he's going to stay in New York. Last year with Ohtani, it was likely almost a certainty that he was going to leave the Angels because he was looking for a different scenario, a better situation for himself, playoff potential.
He wanted to
fly privately to Toronto.
How much fun was that when that was all going on?
It depends on who you were.
Well, I mean, it was just hilarious.
Look, we're not going to be in an Ohtani race. I'll tell you that right now.
But don't you feel like a month away from free agency, it's a different scenario with Juan Soto and thought process than it would have been than it was with Ohtani?
Yes. I think part of that is that Juan Soto has been to multiple teams, right?
He's
been around the league a little bit, been a few places.
Washington, San Diego, New York.
Yes. And you feel like he's reached a place that will pay through the nose for him and keep him, and they should, frankly. So we'll see how that plays out, but I think you're right. I'm still disappointed that he's not even mentioned with the Cubs. I mean, why wouldn't you want a guy who's he's going to be 26 when next year begins? That's a guy entering his prime. Who wouldn't want a guy's prime?
Everybody would want him in his prime.
No question.
I would think that would be a no-brainer.
Yes.
That you think that's the cost of playing poker. You know, that's the that's just one of those givens. If you are a big market team, you're going to explore the feasibility of signing Juan Soto or pursuing him. Anthony Rizzo had a good game last night too.
Anthony
speaking
Rizzo
of the Cubs,
good. Yeah.
He comes back. He's got two broken fingers, or he's recovering from two broken fingers in his right hand, and he had two really quality at-bats, and he got picked off. And he looked really slow. But he did drive a double down the right field line, and that Yankees did not run the bases very intelligently last night, but they did win.
Right.
So that series seems to be in their command.
Yeah, they look like they're in great shape. I mean, we'll see. I don't expect the Guardians to come roaring back, but they do have pitching, and whenever, you know, where there is life, there is hope, and there is life, so you can't call them hopeless, but certainly the other series looks a lot closer, being tied, and with the Mets playing the way they've been playing, there is that touch of magic to whatever they're doing. But I got to tell you, I think that, you know, the Mets are the kind of team with Steve Cohen spending the kind of money they're spending. Who knows?
It's funny. They're spending all kinds of money, and then they're kind of known as the try-hard Mets and like the Cinderella story. And
right. They
really aren't that because they have highly paid stars and an owner that's hell-bent on getting and spending as much as necessary to be in this position.
He's as much fan as owner. In other words, he's not owning the team like an owner. He's owning the team like a fan.
It's like his fantasy baseball team.
Yes, and he's showing up and taking photos with people and all that stuff.
He's enjoying the ride.
Wouldn't he want to go after Juan Soto? Wouldn't he, if you could steal him from the crosstown rivals?
It'd be a great coup.
Yeah,
it would be a coup. I'm not questioning anybody's interest level in one of the best young players in the game. If I'm Juan Soto and I'm looking at, you know, in front of me, who's batting after me? Oh, that's Aaron Judge. Who's batting after him? Oh, that's Giancarlo Stanton. Am I going to see better pitches in any other lineup in baseball? No.
It does tell you, though, that like it is the old Armor Hot Dog song when you think about great baseball players, because Juan Soto is a power guy, but he's a shorter, wider kind of – he's not the giant
right,
the two guys you described around him in the lineup.
It's good. It's a good way to complement those Giants.
Oh my gosh!
Is with Juan Soto 3-4-5. Boy, that doesn't get much better than that. Maybe
scary
the Dodgers at times, but that's why that's the World Series. I hope happens. The Dodgers and the Yankees. Major League Baseball. You see the promos for the World Series. They're already promoting it. It's Judge and Ohtani.
Yes,
they're the stars of that commercial. They're the stars of this show in this month, and I think they're on a collision course for the World Series. That will be a lot of fun. But the Mets may have other ideas.
Would that be a reason that Soto would want to leave? Just the idea that he wants to be his own entity,
could be
his own team. I don't know enough about him
to suggest that. But it's possible. We have seen
plenty of
players on similar ego trips before.
Yeah. Well, and it's not fair to call it an ego trip. Just kind of you want to be acknowledged for who you are and what you do. And
maybe fair enough.
Maybe it is an ego
trip. Maybe a little bit. Speaking of ego trips, busy day in the NFL.
Oh, my God. I'm still trying to figure out what Woody Johnson meant when he said that it was all about him. What are you talking about? The Jets, speaking of New York, are all in. Only they did fire their coach, and I don't think that's ever worked. So are they all in? Like, they got Devontae Adams. Okay, way to go. And he made it clear, this has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. It was his decision. Aaron Rodgers didn't want Devontae Adams.
No, that's why Devontae Adams hijacked the podcast.
Yeah, he showed up.
Appearance on the Pat McAfee show. And all of a sudden, there's Devontae Adams with a cameo, a surprise appearance. Aaron Rodgers had nothing to do with that.
No, he was as stunned as anyone.
He was just sharing his treatment facility with... with the guy coming back from a hamstring injury?
Yeah.
Is he okay now?
No, he's going to be all right.
There's no limp. He did not limp into the Jets facility, did he?
We'll see if he gets through it somehow.
Yeah, it's kind of inconceivable to think that Aaron Rodgers' fingerprints aren't all over this series of moves by the Jets. Desperate moves. And this is a team, I think, closer to unraveling than challenging.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. I think that... you know, if Devontae comes with the time machine and they can push it back to vintage Green Bay Rodgers to Devontae Adams.
Can they bring Matt LaFleur to call plays too?
Well, I don't know.
And maybe
he's welcome.
Is David Bakhtiari on the way to protect the blind side of an Aaron Rodgers?
But he would also need the time
machine. Yeah, he would need the time machine as well. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
And from 2014 to 2021, boy, there wasn't a better tandem in the NFL.
No question.
But the calendar says it's 2024.
It's a desperate move.
Yeah, it's a desperate move.
It's desperation because you've already fired the coach. You know, you're barely into the season. And really, that's not the move you make if you're on your way to the Super Bowl. I saw someone on television, I think it was Jeff Saturday, was doing some NFL show yesterday.
Ex-head coach Jeff Saturday?
And that's what I thought of. I thought, what didn't they try to hire Jeff Saturday?
They did.
To turn that thing around.
Yeah.
I don't know that kind of thing works. Now, he wasn't an NFL coach, but neither was this guy. I don't even remember.
In-season head coaching moves in the NFL rarely turn out well.
I don't recall.
Because it's not the same as other sports. Yeah. The season isn't long enough. It's a different dynamic.
There's
different systems in place.
Yes.
You have, and maybe that's the flaw in the system, and you can criticize that it's too regimented and there's too complex and all those things. You might be right. You might have an argument there. But the fact of the matter is teams don't just change systems in season. You can't bring somebody else in from the outside or even somebody on the staff.
It's a splash move. I mean, wow. Look at that. See what they did?
Yeah.
But does that work? Does it work, generally speaking, to fire the coach, bring in another player, kind of let the quarterback take control of the franchise?
Well, they did that already, I think.
They already tried that.
That was the tug of war. And the quarterback taking hold of the franchise happened the minute that you signed him or traded for him. I think with Robert Saleh, the one exception – generally speaking, is if you feel like the head coach is having a negative impact and the dysfunction is because of his demeanor or the power of his personality and he's got to go, you remove him from the equation, okay, maybe that's a justification for making a move like that. Otherwise, you got to live with it. You got to write it out.
Yeah.
And they, I think, made themselves worse more than better in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I just don't know how I don't know if that works. I don't know that it has worked. I don't know why the guy that was on the staff sitting there, who's now the caretaker, is going to help you to be better than the guy that was there that you kind of gave your team to and he was in charge of it.
Devontae Adams maybe will run the right route, unlike Mike Williams, who was thrown under the bus by number 8.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're not running the right route, and that weak armed throw at the end of the game, the interception, according to Rodgers, not my fault. He did not run the right route. Well, had he run the right route, I threw to that spot and he wasn't there.
No, that's not what happened. The receiver did slip, but because he slipped, he had a better chance of catching the ball because it was underthrown.
It looked badly underthrown.
Yes, and the nickel came over the top. And managed to catch
that
ball.
But that's not the way that Rodgers described
it. No, it's not.
Rodgers described it as if it was Mike Williams running the wrong route, and all of a sudden, oh, boy, that's because of that the interception happened and the game was over. So.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the circus, to be honest with you, because there are so many kind of media Jets people that are so up and down and crazy.
I'm so invested in the Jets. It's kind of ridiculous.
It's a bit much.
The Jets and the Cowboys, the two most overcovered teams in the NFL, and both are receiving a lot of attention for their dysfunction more than anything this week.
Yeah, it's true.
The Jerry Jones thing coming in is hilarious, but it's just on brand because of him going off the rails and threatening two guys asking fair questions and making more news for being loud.
Yeah.
Just for being loud.
Well,
the Cowboys are loud. They're loud bad.
He's become even more of a caricature of himself than he was. He is this kind of exaggerated version of Jerry because he can't win. Because he's also the general manager. The reason any question is fair game is because he's on as the architect of the team. He's not on as simply the owner. He's not a guy with money behind the program. He's the guy that's making all these day-to-day decisions that have all kind of blown up on him. And I mean, I don't agree with the crowd that says the Cowboys are they have no future, they're done. I think that they have the quarterback there long-term. They got CeeDee Lamb there long-term. Micah Parsons presumably will be the next guy paid. But that creates a host of issues and problems, and you got to wonder if they have the right guy there picking the players to make those decisions, right?
You'd like to see somebody in that organization provide a dose of stability.
Yes.
Or offer kind of some confidence that there are going to be decisions made that aren't impulsive, that aren't kind of rooted in emotion. And when you hear Jerry Jones go off the rails like that, you are reminded that he's involved in football decisions. And the reason this might be going in the wrong direction could be he's making a lot of decisions that aren't good decisions because he can't really get out of his own way sometimes.
You think I'm an idiot?
No, I don't think he's an idiot. I think he's just one of these guys. He makes himself available, and then he forgets that he does that to hold himself accountable. And then he sounds like he sounded yesterday, which is like a raving lunatic.
You have got to be smoking something over there this morning.
Yeah, it's weird that he suddenly makes like a huge power play because he didn't like the questions. It's just weird.
If you're going to show up, if you're going to make yourself available to these kinds of opportunities and be the man of the people, you've got to expect questions like these after the worst home loss in your tenure.
I wonder when we hear like from some owners in town, do we want more of that or do we need less of it? Right. I think we need more Tom. I think we probably could use more Danny Wirtz. I wouldn't mind that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we need more Jerry Reinsdorf.
Well, you want to be consistent though, right?
I would like him to not send a letter out. I'd like him to answer questions.
Yeah, he's still got to do that. He still said he would do that.
Yeah, but I
you don't want him to do that.
I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know that he's at a point where he's either willing to do it or is capable of saying anything that would kind of turn my mind.
Would you
mind.
Welcome the gesture of showing up?
I don't know. And I don't know that I...
It depends on the execution.
I heard George talk in London, and that was enough of George for me, frankly.
Right. For a while?
All he said was he believes in Kevin Warren, and he said some nice things about the TV show. He didn't really get to the heart of any of the issues.
He said some nice things about the direction of the team.
Yes, he did.
And Ryan Poles, the decision he's made. You expect that.
You do.
And he did invest more confidence publicly in Kevin Warren.
We're confident in Kevin.
More so than the plan. I guess what's one and the same to him. And I think that's good to get on the record to understand
to
where they're coming from.
Yes.
Because to him, Kevin Warren is the plan.
Yes.
So the stadium project and Kevin Warren's vision, there's no distinguishing between the two, but like we do that.
But when I thought back on that and I listened back to it, I didn't know. I initially thought, well, what do they know that we don't know? And then after listening to it a few times, I came to the conclusion they don't really have any information.
They don't have any new information. Talk to people around.
They
don't know anything we don't know.
Exactly.
They're hoping.
Exactly.
Their hope is their plan.
And that's a
tough plan.
That's not a good
plan. But I'm glad that we heard that from him.
Okay.
So in that context, I like and welcome these owners who appear so infrequently in front of the microphones because whether, you know, they are professionals too, and they have an obligation to speak to the fans through the media. So the next time Jerry Reinsdorf does that, I want to know where he stands publicly on the 78 project, on the future of the White Sox. How far are they away? What does he think about all these calls to sell the team? You hear in his words whether he laughs off the idea of free agency or not. We have him on the record, and I think that's important for a fan base to hear.
I suppose that's
every
accurate.
So often.
I guess, and you're right, I guess my problem with it is that I'm not sure that I have much faith in what he has to say.
That's fair, too. I mean, that's earned skepticism over the years of being a fan of the White Sox, and you are entitled to that. I just think that, well, I don't need to hear from the owner every week like Jerry Jones. That's overexposure.
Yeah,
I do think that
there's got to be a fine mix.
There's a happy medium, and I think you don't want to be extremely away from the spotlight either and just issue statements. You want to be there to answer questions that are fair, and you want to establish a vision that is clear.
But don't tell me that you hired someone because you're going to be closer to winning, and that's why you didn't go outside the organization and look at anyone else. It had nothing to do with proximity to you. It was because that was going to make you closer to winning. So you leave that little kernel, and then as the guy says, well, I knew we were going to lose like 110 games, but I didn't.
I know, Mully, but I'm glad he said that
because,
rather than issue a statement and telling us that Chris Getz is a new general manager and the reasons are ambiguous.
Yes.
No, we know what he said, and we're holding him accountable for those words.
But are we?
Yeah, because we're criticizing it every time we bring it up.
Mm.
So that criticism, I think, is accountability.
I just think that there's something else going on there. That, like, eventually they're going to leave town, and I don't think anyone's going to miss them. That's how it's going right now, and I hate to say that.
By the way, the Hawks lost last night.
That would stink. Yeah, I saw that. You know, I wish they could just come home and play a couple of games where I could see them, and it wouldn't start at 9 o'clock at night.
Well, tomorrow night, they're rolling out the red carpet, literally. Home opener.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the United Center.
At least I can watch that one.
You can watch that one on Chicago Sports Network.
Good.
And it is a home game.
And I have it. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
That's for my buddy. I'm going to start turning into a real jerk about this if you keep texting me. That's how I roll. All right, we got so much we got to get to, and we've got the pick six next. We'll tear apart all the stories of the day. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Now go ahead and ask me whatever you want to ask me, and I'll answer whatever I feel like.